Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Optimistic Divorcees podcast. I am Shari.
And I am Charisse.
And we're just two happily divorced women who are optimistic about life, for real, about love.
Yep.
Charisse is very optimistic. You can tell by that, yep. Okay. On that note, we're going to jump right in to our segment, I Do, I'm Done. And in this segment, we talk about things that we have either read, seen, or heard that we have thoughts on, and we're either down with it, which is why we say I do, or we're not with it at all, and we're saying I'm done.
So
today I'm going to say I do to Paige from Married at First Sight.
What? Oh man, I didn't see it yet.
Well, girl, here you go. This is what happens when you're not prepared, okay, to talk about the episode. So I'm saying I do because our girl Paige has finally come around. She has seen the marvelous light. And she is finally past the shenanigans of trash boy Chris.
Really?
Yeah, she had some revelations. She had some realizations. And I am so happy for her because I was thinking that I was going to be pissed off at her for the rest of the season. But she's come around. She has found her mind. She's found her senses.
She's found her mind. Oh, my God.
She lost it. She lost her mind, but she's found it. She has reclaimed her mind and her time.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, you know, during the episode, she was like, you know, I realized that I might have been a little bit more interested in the idea of marriage and being married and love. And she also said that she realized now that, you know, she has to have more stake with her own self-worth, her self-esteem. So okay. I'm glad. So maybe, you know what? The word says that everything happens for our good, right? So maybe this is what she needed to happen so that she could get this revelation and know that, girl, you don't have to put up with this. Like, there is someone out there who will love you the way that you need to be loved, who will respect you and treat you the way that you need to be treated. So that's it. I'm just happy that Paige has finally, and let me just knock on wood, because the season ain't over. So it could be
an episode. It could change. But I thought she was real before.
Yeah, I did too. But I'm believing, you know, that she's real about that thing now. I think she's finally put her stake in the ground, and she's like, this is where I am. You know, she had a conversation with her brother, and her brother was really encouraging, you know, and just telling her the same thing. Like, you know what? Maybe this is something that you had to go through, but now you've dealt with it. You're about to be on the other side, and there's something better for you on the other side.
Oh, so, brother. You know, what did brother look like?
Well, he's married, first of all.
So,
hello, and secondly, he all right.
Oh, okay.
But yes, that is my I do for today's episode.
Hey, and I got nothing. So that's the end of our segment for today. Please stay tuned.
We'll be back after the break.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Optimistic Divorcees podcast. If you have topic suggestions or would like to be a guest, send us an email at theoptimisticdivorceespodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not already, make sure to follow us online at The Opt Divorcees on Instagram and The Optimistic Divorcees on Facebook. To sign up for our email list, use the link in our Instagram bio or check out the show notes. Okay, guys, so we're going to jump right into our episode today. For our first episode in April, it's just going to be me and Shari hanging out, talking about some things. That's it. And what we're talking about today is the subject of being single and going through loss and grief. And the reason we wanted to talk about this is because, you know, we got through February. We launched our podcast then. So we had something to be excited about and look forward to in regards to that. And one of the reasons we did that is because for Shari and myself, February is a really trying and heavy time for both of us because there are some milestones in that month that are not so happy. So we both experienced great losses in the month of February, and man, we're just happy to get through it, to have gotten through it. But we wanted to share, you know, our experience with dealing with that loss, those losses initially, and getting through it as time goes by being single women. So yeah.
I think it's important to talk about this because, especially with this podcast talking about being divorced, you know what I mean? And kind of navigating life post-divorce as a single person. And one of the things that you don't realize, I think sometimes when you're dealing with divorce or going through, or even after you've had a divorce, are things that you have to deal with by yourself. Like, of course, we know, like, oh, I got to take out the trash, or oh, I got to do this with the kids by myself, or, you know, I got to figure out how I'm going to get my car fixed or whatever, you know, things like that. But when it comes to emotional, you know, matters, personal matters, it's hard trying to navigate that being single, you know, and not having a partner. So, in the spirit of, you know, Sharice and I trying to always keep it real, always be honest, we felt like this would be something good for us to talk about and share on the podcast. So,
go ahead, Sharice. And I've actually never heard anybody talk about this. Like, I've never heard this side of it, because I really don't think it's, like you said, I don't think it's something that people realize is such a big deal. So I'll kick it off by just sharing a little bit about the loss that I experienced. Back in
I'm so sorry. I just want to say that this podcast episode is probably going to be, or it might be kind of heavy. So, you know, if you have been through a recent loss, this might not be the time to listen to this episode.
It might be a trigger
out there. Yeah, it might be a trigger. I just want to make sure that we put that out there before we get into it.
Yeah. So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That was good, Shari. That was good. Good idea. That's why we partners, girl.
That's why we partners.
So, I'm going to share with you about my loss back in 2007. I lost my little brother. He was 19 years old. He was in a car accident, headed to get his hair cut before work. And he died. I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget my mother calling me. I was at work getting ready to get off, and I called her back, and I'll never forget the words she said. I'll never forget how she sounded. I'll never forget her look when I got to the house. I'll never forget all the cars parked in front of the house in the driveway. I will never forget Friday, February 2nd, 2007. At that time, I had been divorced probably a year and a half or so. My son was 4. He was really close to my brother. Like, they were thick as thieves. So one thing with being single and experiencing a loss like that is having to tell my son about what happened.
That was like the first major loss for him, right?
Absolutely. That was his first major loss of somebody that was really close and dear to him. And at the time, we were living back with my family. So we were in the house with my parents and my two little brothers. So, you know, it was really, I dreaded having to tell him what happened. That day it happened, I think he was with his father, so it wasn't something that I had to tell him right away. But during that weekend, his father and his father's new wife came to the house. You know, of course, we had a lot of visitors, and we took that time to, we told him together what happened, but it was still different. It was different telling him as, you know, divorced co-parents than I think it would have been if we had been together. Different because, one, the new wife was there. So that added a different layer of, I don't know, awkwardness, if you will. Yeah. And just, first of all, he took the news well. He was 4 years old. We told him that he went to heaven and he'll see him later when he gets to heaven. And it was something, you know, kids are resilient. So he was like, oh, he's in heaven. Okay, I'll see him later. You know, it was kind of like that. So I was grateful for that, that he took the information, you know, like that. And, you know, kids, he went back on playing. But for me to be there and then for his father to be there with his wife, you know, I felt so alone, even though I was surrounded by people and family and friends, and I felt so alone. Like, I didn't have anybody to hold my hand, you know, or encourage me as I gave this message to my son. Like, that was really hard to see him there with his wife and then for me to be there by myself. And when you go through something like that, and at the time, I was like the rock for my family too. Mm-hmm. So my youngest brother was like 14 years old. So of course he couldn't comfort me. I had to comfort him. My mother, you know, she's lost her child. She was out of it. Yeah. My father, of course, being a man, he tended to be stronger, but this was actually the second child that my father had lost. My oldest brother died. My oldest brother from a previous relationship my father had died years prior. So I literally had to be the rock. I had to
literally
take care. Yeah, I had to take care of arrangements. I had to do everything. I had to be a comfort and a support and just be everything. And yes, I had my friends to support me, thank God, because I wouldn't have made it without them. But at night, you know, when it was the end of the night and I was alone in my room, you know, after everybody had gone and I had taken care of the business of the day, it was just me. And that was hard. It was hard. People would see me. I even had a person make a statement about how they didn't think that I was handling things in a healthy manner, because they would see me, you know, doing what I had to do during the day, even laughing and maybe even going out, because that's what I had to do to deal with things. And they had the nerve to say that it was unhealthy in how I was dealing with things, and they didn't think that I was grieving properly. But there's no way that you can tell a person how to grieve. There's no right or wrong way to do it. And you don't know what I went through at the end of the day when it was just me alone in my room. So that was really hard. And my parents had each other. They had me, plus they had each other, you know. My little brother had my parents, and he had me and everybody else. But I just felt alone. And it's been a lot of years. What's this, 2021? So it's been 14 years.
Still unbelievable to me. It's, it's been 14 years, and it seems like yesterday sometimes still.
Right. So if you feel like that, imagine.
I know. I already know.
I look at my brothers. I have a like three pictures of him on my mirror in my bedroom. And every day when I look at those pictures, I just shake my head and say, I can't believe you're not here. I can't believe it. It's unfreaking believable. So his birthday is in March. So when he died, he was about a month and a half away from turning 20 years old. And we have been joking about going to Red Lobster because he said he had never been to Red Lobster. And I'm pretty sure we had gone to Red Lobster as a family, but for whatever reason, he didn't remember it. So we were all excited about taking him to Red Lobster. Well, he didn't make it to that birthday, but what we've done every year since 2007 is on March 21st, we go to Red Lobster. Shari has been there with us a few times. We go to Red Lobster. My mother claims that shrimp was his favorite food. I don't really remember that. She has all of us eat a shrimp in his honor, and we go to Red Lobster every year. The last 2 years, because of the pandemic, we've ordered the food and picked it up. So this past year, just a few weeks ago, we ordered the food. We're at my parents' house. And this year was really hard for me for whatever reason. Like, that day was super rough for me. And I was kind of snippy and kind of had a bad attitude that day. And it must have been some, I think maybe my father or brother, somebody else must have had a bad attitude too. Because my mother says, you know, I don't know why everybody has an attitude. I lost my son. And, you know, dealing with grief and a loss like that, yes, of course, that's a bigger loss. Losing your child is bigger than losing a brother. So experiencing something like that is still a really, really, really great loss. And when she said that, it just made me break down, because it's like, you don't understand. Yeah. Like, again, you and my father have each other, but you don't understand what I go through as a sister who has experienced this loss. Mm-hmm. You're not, which she should understand because she's lost a brother before. But that just really magnified my singlehood at that time. Like, I don't have anybody here to comfort me, to understand, to just, you know,
or even just to vent to about
right.
You feeling that way because she made that statement, you know?
Exactly. So I just, once again, I just have to kind of suck it up and deal with it. And that's really, really, really hard. Like, yeah. It's something that you really don't think about.
Yeah, you don't.
And I envy, you know, the people who have somebody to vent to and release and just be there for them. You know, at this point, right. My youngest brother is an adult. He has a fiance and they have a family. You know, he has her to lean on and she comforts him and she listens and, you know, tries to understand the best she can. And
yeah, because that's what I was going to say, too. Like, even I know, like, we're talking about grief, but even in the midst of hard times, you know, like, yeah. Your dad was in the hospital during the time, and it was really scary, you know, yes. For the whole family. And so, you know, I know you and I had talked about that whole thing, but, you know, if you want to share some of that, like, in terms of how you're feeling and having to deal with that.
Yeah, that's another time where I had to really step up and help my mother out and kind of be the rock again. I'm the oldest of my parents' children, so I had to step up and just help take care of business and just help be, you know, make sensible decisions and all of that. And again, my father had never been sick before, and now all of a sudden he's passed out, being rushed to the hospital. We find out he has colon cancer. He was literally on the brink of death. My father has always been a big man. like 6 feet, 240 pounds, and he had lost so much. He was down when we took him to the hospital that day. He was like 162 pounds. So we didn't know what was going to happen. You know, that was a lot to do. And it happened on my birthday. Nonetheless,
I know.
He passed out on my 39th birthday. I'm thinking my mother is calling me early in the morning to wish me a happy birthday, to be the first one. And she's calling me to tell me that the ambulance is there getting ready to take my father to the hospital.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. I'm Dana, aka DanaMike781 across the social medias, and I am here to tell you about my podcast that is currently streaming on your favorite listening platform. It's called This Should Be in a Book. People often tell me that the things I say should be in a book, but I didn't want to write a book. So I decided to release my knowledge podcast style. New episodes are available every Monday, and you'll be able to listen to my insight on this thing called life, 3 points into poem style, minus the poem. So after you finish listening to this podcast, head on over to This Should Be in a Book to listen and subscribe. Hope you enjoy.
Or, I mean, I just remember, you know, again, like you just talking about that being such a scary time and not, you know, having someone there to just even talk about, you know, what was happening.
Yeah.
And kind of share in just being there for you, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Cause again, my parents had each other, mm-hmm. you know, not only was it my birthday that day, but 2 days prior, they had celebrated their 40-year anniversary.
Wow.
So they had each other. My mother was sticking by his side. And my father was encouraging her in his sickness. So it was great. It was heartwarming to see them be there for each other that way. But at the same token, it was heartbreaking to watch them be there for each other. And once again, I'm alone. I had to also, you know, be there for my son, be there, even though they had each other, I still had to be there for them, be there for my little brother who had his fiance, you know, those 2 times, I don't think I've ever felt so alone.
Well, Charisse, you know, I understand. I totally understand. I guess, is this where I should pick up and share?
Yes, pick up and share.
Lord, okay. So for those who know me. Hey, friends. most people know that I am not really big on being like super emotional. But yeah, like, of course I can relate. In 2016, well, first of all, I lost both of my parents, in less than 5 years. So in 2016, my dad passed, and he had been actually since probably junior high school, my dad had a lot of health issues. I jokingly say that he was like the cat with 9 lives, you know, like for real, because like my dad had at least like 2 heart attacks, like 2 strokes.
Wow.
He had diabetes, you know, so he had a ton of health issues, but every time he came back, you know, and I know, like, one time Charisse kind of teases me about this one time where my dad was in the hospital, and like we really didn't think that he was going to make it, because he had told my mom, like, listen, like, I'm okay to go, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we were preparing for my father to pass, and Charisse asked me something. Do you remember? I don't remember what you asked me, but I guess my answer was just so matter of fact, like,
yeah,
well, you know, he's been here a long time. He's been through a lot of health issues. And I guess, you know, if it's his time, you know, we'll just deal with it when it comes.
And right. You were kind of like, you know, we're not really expecting him to make it. So, and I'm like, okay.
Right. I mean, honestly, I think part of my protective armor is really just kind of, I block a lot of things out. Like, that is my protective hedge. You know, like, I will place it on the shelf and I'm like, I'll deal with it when it comes. Or I just kind of remove, you know, the feelings from it. Like, hey, or try to be as realistic as possible. Like, listen, this man, he's been through, we've experienced this a number of times throughout these years. You know, hey, maybe his number is finally going to get pulled.
Right. That's I wanted to say that you said that. Like, hey.
I know. And listen, just so you know, I do laugh a lot of times. And first of all, I laugh at uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah, we both do.
I think, again, it's just like a way to cope and deal. I joke around a lot. But I mean, really, at that time, like, that's what we were thinking. And I think it was just a way for us to kind of like prepare ourselves, like, you know, be ready. But shoot, my dad, I think he lived like an extra
probably
year
a couple
after that.
Yeah, a year or two.
Yeah. So, you know, at the point that my dad went to the hospital the last time, it was really something, because it was one of those times where, you know, he had to be rushed to the hospital. I think like I was getting off of work, and so I met my mom there, and my brother, I think he had like some kind of telepathy or something, because he would always just sense like something was going on, and he would be on the highway like to meet us where we were. And so I just remember like the night before he passed, you know, it was me, my mom, my brother, and we were in the room, and my mom, like, she was really tired, and I think she was like coming down with a cold. So by that time my brother had made it, and so it was just the both of us. And, you know, we were able to spend time with him. And then the next morning, like, we went home the next morning. We were like, okay, you know, we're going to go and check on him. And when we got there, actually, I think prior to us getting there, like, my niece had called and was like, something is going on. I don't know. Like, y'all need to come up to the hospital. And apparently, like, he had died throughout the night and no one had contacted us.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. So, of course, like, we were livid. We were pissed. So it was just dealing with all of those emotions, really, of now he was still on a machine. So he was gone, you know, like he wasn't coming back. He looked like the machine was basically keeping him alive. Mm-hmm. And so my mom had to make the decision, you know, to take him off of the machine. And, you know, that was rough. And again, being the person that has had to deal with a lot of health issues from my dad, and really just kind of be there for my dad, period, because, you know, throughout my life, I had always said, like, I want to move. But I never did, because I'm like, I have to be there, you know, to help my parents. And like, with my dad being sickly, like, I never wanted my mom to feel like she was doing it by herself.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, was always there. And even during that time, that was hard, because I didn't have anybody, you know what I mean? Like, emotionally, it's draining to see your parents, you know, ill, or even to see my mom having to do a lot of things. Like, prior to my dad passing, like, maybe the year before he passed, like, we ended up having to put him in a nursing home because of his health issues, and I had moved out. And so my mom, she couldn't physically lift him if something happened to him. And so, you know, as a family, that was the decision that we made. But again, emotionally, having to deal with that, it was rough. Not having someone to express my emotions to and say, like, man, I feel this way today, or I wake up feeling a certain way. It's just, man, it's rough.
Yeah.
Fast forward to 2018.
So I'm sorry. So when did he pass away?
He passed February 28th, mm-hmm. 2016. And then, and let's just talk about that. Like, first of all, most people listening to this podcast probably don't know, but who I call my parents, they are really my aunt and uncle, but they raised me from the time that I was a baby. So those are my parents. Mm-hmm. And so my dad growing up, like, that was my ace boon coon. You know what I mean? Like, my dad worked nights. My dad worked nights. So he was home, you know, during the day. So anything that happened concerning school, anything going on after school, like, that was who I was with. You know, like, we watched Sesame Street together and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, all of those things. You know, when I was growing up, I played softball. He was my softball coach, you know. Yeah. He was the one that had me reading all kinds of books and listening to all kinds of music. Like, I was a daddy's girl. Yeah. He was strict as all get out. but that was still my guy.
Yeah.
And so and that was really one of the first losses. I mean, I lost my grandmother, who I was extremely close with as well. But losing my dad, it was just like, what is happening in my life? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, what is happening in my life? What is going to happen? Now, I will say this. At the time, I was seeing someone who I won't say. I won't say on the podcast. But even with that, like, you want to ask a question, Charisse? I feel it.
I was just going to say, I think it's good to note that the person that you were seeing, you all connected through loss at that time too. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up. So mm-hmm. yes, the person that I was seeing had actually, he had experienced a loss. And after attending the funeral is when we, you know, met and kind of reconnected. And, you know, I was going through things with my dad. And so he was able to be there. But I mean, to be honest, I think I was still kind of like, I don't know if I really was all the way, you know, there with him on some levels. Because I remember being at the hospital and calling him and letting him know, like, my dad passed. And he was like, Do you want me to come up there? And he asked like a few times and I was like, no, like, I'm good. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Because I think, well, first of all, like, it was, I don't know if it was new, but it would have been first. I'm very private when it comes to like who I'm dating and all of that stuff. And so my family didn't really know. I mean, my mother did, but my family really didn't know. And I just didn't think that was like the right time to really
mm-hmm. you know, right to spring it on him.
Yeah, exactly, to have him there anyway. So I felt like that was best. So even though he was there, he wasn't all the way present, you right know? And so because of that, I still dealt with a lot of stuff by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, then moving on to 2018, my mom, she was ill. She had some issues going on. We didn't really know what was happening, but around the time, like in, I think it was April, May, she had started having some issues with her hands and her arms, and it like progressively started getting worse. And so on my birthday, my mom was in the hospital. These are some of like the parallels that Charisse and I tend to have in our lives, which is really crazy.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I spent my birthday, like, my mom was in the hospital, but I was like, you know what? I'm still gonna do something for me. And then I'll go and spend, you know, the day with my mom. So mm-hmm. I, you know, went and had a massage, the worst massage of my entire life.
Oh no.
It was terrible. I went and had a massage, and you know, I had a free meal at like Red Robin or something. So I had, you know, lunch, and then after that I went and stayed with my mom at the hospital. And again, you know, my brother was there.
Yeah.
And even with that, you know, it's always good to have family who's present. But to your point, Charisse, it's still just not the same, you know? Yeah. And I remember, even at this point, honestly, though, I was dating someone then, too.
Oh.
My mom. Yeah, I was dating someone then, too, when my mom was diagnosed in November of 2018. She had been taking a lot of tests, and doctors were trying to figure out what was going on. And then finally, mm-hmm. like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, it was finally determined that she had ALS, mm-hmm. or otherwise known as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Right.
And I remember calling the guy that I was dating, or texting him actually, and telling him. And but again, even after that, and like all the things that I, you know, ended up going through with my mom, like I ended up basically moving back in with my mom to help her, because it had gotten to the point like she couldn't eat by herself. I had to assist her in going to the bathroom and brushing her teeth and combing her hair and putting her clothes on, like literally everything that you would do for a child, I had to do that, you know, for my mom. And it seemed like once she was diagnosed, everything seemed to just accelerate.
Yeah.
And even though I was dating someone at the time, I still don't think it wasn't a safe space. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. When you haven't made that emotional connection like that yet, it's still like being alone, because you're kind of still getting to know that person. So you don't necessarily even feel comfortable expressing yourself like you want to.
Exactly. And then I didn't want to be, quote unquote, like the Debbie Downer. You know what I mean? And that could have been to my own, because of my own thing. Like, I am a person who a lot of times I will keep things to myself because I don't want to put it off on someone else. I don't want, you know, to feel like I'm putting my baggage or my heavy stuff on other people. So I will keep things to myself. And, you know, to his defense, it could have been that, you know, because when I told him initially that, you know, this is the situation, he was very sympathetic, you know, and he would ask like how my mom was doing, how I was doing. But again, I still didn't feel like it was a safe space.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, I remember one time when I was dating him, it was the anniversary. I think it was either my dad's birthday or the anniversary of his death. And I ended up going over to his house and, like, you know, just to hang out and watch watch TV. And I remember him saying something, and I just was like so taken aback, because I'm like, I needed to be with someone where I could feel comforted, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And feel supported. And I didn't get that.
Mm.
And so to me, it was just like, okay, to your point, Charisse, about being like emotional, you know, having that emotional connection, that was one of the first signs where I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if this person can be there for me, you know, when I really just need like a safe place to land. If I, you know, get to the point where one day just all of my emotions just catch up to me and I just have a breakdown and I just need to cry and you know, have a hug. Right. Like, will this person be able to handle that? For one, will he even want to? For two, you know what I mean?
So, or will he be kind of insensitive?
Yeah. Would he be insensitive? Would he have like the emotional intelligence to even be able to deal with it? To be
right.
So honestly, I think after experiencing that, I think that's when I was like, you know, I think this might be something that I need to really consider, you know, in terms of, in terms of this relationship. But so in February 29th, a day after my dad had passed 4 years ago, my mom passed on February 29th, 2020.
That still blows my mind.
It blows my mind. I've never shared this, really. I think you're the only one of our friends that knows this, Charisse. But I found my mom. You know, I came into the room because at the time my nephew, when my mom was living with my brother and his wife,
We had, me and Sharice, you know, had moved my mom down along with my brother to Kentucky to live with him and my sister-in-law. Because I'm just a single woman, you know, in Chicago, yeah. I couldn't, it was hard for me to really try to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, I had come to Kentucky for Christmas and I was supposed to leave maybe like a week or 2 weeks later. And I never left. And because I was like, if I was to go home or go, you know, back to California where I was at the time and get a call, and have to be on a plane by myself, like, I don't know how I'll be able to handle that. And something just kept telling me to stay. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that I did, because, you know, I was able to be a support and give my sister-in-law, my brother, you know, some time to do things, and just spend those times with my mom. Mm-hmm. And, but the day that she died, like, my nephew was here. He was, planning a wedding with his fiance, and so my sister-in-law and my nephew's fiance, we were going to go dress shopping. My nephew was going to be, you know, at the house, and so I was trying to explain to him how to use the breathing machine that my mom had. And I literally, like, we both come in the room and I take the breathing machine off of my mom and I notice that she's not breathing. And so I'm like, something's not right. I put my head down to her chest to see if I could hear like her heartbeat, and there was nothing. So I was the one that discovered my mom had passed away. Mm-hmm. It's really funny when I think about it now, is like how calm I was. And I think part of it was like shock. Yeah. But I just remember, you know, calling my brother because he had gone to his church for something. And telling him, you know, hey, you have to come home. And yeah, I mean, from that point of discovering my mom had passed away, and, you know, even up to the wedding, again, it was just like another huge loss that I'm dealing with by myself. And I just remember crying and telling my brother, like, I'm by myself. Like, I'm all I have, you know?
Oh, shy.
Yeah, I mean, I know, just feeling like, man, like the like, who's gonna, like, my mom was always there for me, you know what I mean? And then after my dad passed, it was me and my mom. Like, we actually had gotten closer after my dad passed, because I wanted to make sure that she was okay, you know? And I just started making sure that I spent more time with her.
Mm-hmm.
So after she passed, it was just like, well, who's gonna be there for me? Like, the people who raised me, like, they're gone. And it's like, I don't have anyone. Who am I supposed to have? You know, I just remember thinking that and just feeling so alone, like, in that moment. But I think going through this experience, it definitely lets me know what I need, you know, from someone.
Yes.
In terms of making sure that the person that I choose to be with, that they can be emotionally available, that they can be present. You know, be empathetic, be compassionate, you know. So yeah, I think if anything, that's one of the major takeaways that I got in dealing with grief alone.
Yeah. And you know what else? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I as you were talking, what came to mind is also my fear that when I get older, you know, if I get sickly, you know, who's going to take care of me? My son may have his own, like, thank God, your mom, you know, Doug and Teresa were willing and able to take her in. And I even think about before my grandma died, she had Alzheimer's and she was able to move in with my parents. So, you know, my father was fine with that and my mother had him to help her. So I think about that, but you know, that's not always the case with your children. You know, sometimes they have their own lives to live and the most they can do is put you in a nursing home. You know,
I mean, that's definitely one of my things. I don't have children, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm single now, so I'm always like, dang, when my time comes, who's gonna be there for me?
Yeah, you know? And that's That's scary, scary and sad to think about. Yeah.
It really is. Well, the optimistic side of me, to end this on a positive note, the optimistic side of me believes that at the end of the day, God knows what we need.
Yeah.
We're going to be okay. I have to keep trusting that. Like, I have to.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, like, it can easily lead to a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I'm just not trying to even deal with. So I'm just optimistic. I'm like, okay, Lord, you got me right. You're not going to let me die alone, right? You're gonna have somebody for me. I know God got me, but I need somebody in the physical to got me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
To got me too. That's right.
To got me too. Thank you. God got me, but I need somebody here to got me too.
Tune in to the Faith Over Everything podcast, which covers literally everything, whether it's pop culture, religion, politics, relationships, fashion and beauty, entertainment, Black culture. We are talking about it all. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode available for your listening pleasure on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, you name it. Also, feel free to follow us on the following pages. Instagram is faithovereverything_podcast, or on Facebook, the page is Faith Over Everything. Thank you for tuning in.
And if I were to give any advice about grieving, I would say, and I mentioned this earlier, like, don't let anybody dictate to you how you should or should not grieve. Don't let anybody tell you that you should still be grieving after a certain amount of time, because I've come to realize that certain hurts from certain losses, it never goes away.
Yeah.
It might ease up. And you learn how to live with it and deal with it, but it does not go away. You're always going to have that missing piece to your heart, and that's okay. You know, I would say not to wallow in the grief so much that you can't function, but feel your feelings, whatever they are, and however long it takes.
I think that is excellent advice. I honestly don't have anything to add to that because I'm still trying to feel my feelings. Okay. So.
The other thing about grieving. Yeah, there's more. The other thing about grieving and maybe having someone close to you who is grieving, sometimes shut up. Okay.
Oh my God. Yes.
I don't need
to say that
you understand. Let's talk about it. You don't have to understand, say that you understand how I feel, because 9 times out of 10, you don't. you don't understand. But you can reach out, let the person know, you know, I'm praying for you. I love you. I don't need you to tell me that this person is in a better place and that I don't even need you to tell me that God doesn't make mistakes, because at the moment I might feel like God made a mistake.
The other thing is, I might not need you to tell me anything. That's a major key. I feel like a lot of times
that's it.
Yeah. When you're going through like a major loss and grieving, that people, first of all, they don't know what to say, and they're trying to be a comfort, you know, and trying to bring you some peace and show you that they're sympathetic, which is great. But what I really think people should know is that a lot of times you don't have to say anything, because it's really not about you saying anything. It's just about you being there. If you can be there and just be present, that's enough.
Yep.
I think
be present and
I was going to say, just to make sure that you give people space, but also, and just don't think that you have to be all things. I think sometimes too, you know, people want to do this, do that.
It can be as simple as, you know what? I know you don't feel like cooking. Here's a $25 gift certificate to this restaurant.
Absolutely.
Or, hey, I know you may not have certain things from the grocery store. I'm going to have some groceries delivered to you. Or I know people are coming over bringing food. Maybe you might need some napkins, some paper plates, some paper cups, some plastic utensils. You know, I don't know how we got onto the
whole keep thing. Asking me what I need. don't keep asking me what I need and if I need anything. Just do it. I mean, especially if you of a certain age, you've been around loss, you've experienced people. If you haven't experienced a loss, you've experienced someone close to you or someone that you know who has lost somebody. So you know that certain things are needed. So just do it. Just do it. Don't keep, because I'm probably going to keep telling you no. No, I don't need nothing.
That is so true. I'm kind of cracking up.
And when you're around that person.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, when you're around that person, just kind of go with their flow. You know, if they want to laugh and talk, you laugh and talk with them. If they want to cry, you cry with them, or just sit there and be there while they cry. You know,
that's it.
None of that extra stuff.
I was going to say, I don't know how we got how we got on this tangent. We went from our grieving story to telling people. And listen, if you happen to be around somebody that's grieving, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, consider this.
And another thing.
Oh, man. Well, I guess that's a way to end this on a lighter note.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We've learned to, that's one thing I know we've got down pat. We've learned to laugh through our pain and in spite of our pain. And I think that's pretty healing.
Girl, listen, we are the queens of that, okay?
Yes, indeedy.
We don't know anything else. We know yes, to laugh indeed. Through our pain.
Oh, you know what? Another parallel we forgot to mention is that your dad's birthday is February 2nd, which is the date that my brother passed away. So it's just funny how we're connected. Even when my father was sick and he had his surgery, you were going through your own health thing at that time. So yeah, it was we is friends for a reason, child.
We really are. God knew. We always say we didn't keep the husbands, but you know, we still together.
Oh, we still together.
Kept each other. Us never part.
You and me, us never part, Sharice. You can't.
Okay.
All right. Well, guys. Hopefully you've gotten something out of this episode. It might have just been an open diary for me and Sharice. Maybe. I don't know.
Right.
But thank you for tuning in to today's episode. We appreciate it. If you feel like this episode might benefit someone else, share it with them. We'd appreciate that too. And if you're looking to connect with us on social media, you can follow me at Shari Lachelle. That's SHARILACHELLE. And Sharice?
You can follow me at AUNATUREL on IG. And I just want to say this. I recently wrote a blog just about my feelings about my brother, and that really explains everything at this point. So if you want to check that out, you can go to ChericeFThompson.com. That's CHERYCE, F as in faith, THOMPSON.com. And then you can go to the menu and click on So I Was Thinking, and it's called Dear Brother. Search Dear Brother.
And of course, it'll be linked in the show notes, so you can go directly there to check out that blog post and all the other blog posts that Sharice has up.
Amen, all right.
I think that's it, right? Anything else? All hearts and minds clear?
That's it. All minds clear. First of all,
I can't believe that we made it through this without crying.
Well, oh my God.
We made it through without crying.
Yeah. My eyes welled up a little bit, but I am super proud.
You did it, Joe, you did it.
We did it, Joe.
And on that note,
bye-bye. Until next time.
Bye.
Optimistic about life. Real.